Rock Talk with Tyson Bryden.
Welcome to Nonstop Rock Talk. I am your host, Tyson Bryden. On today's show, I'm very happy to welcome lead singer of The Fifth, Roy Cathy. Roy, welcome back. How's it going?
Tyson, great to have you. It's good to be doing your first interview in a hotel room. I feel like this is an intimate moment we're sharing
together. Yeah, I've gone mobile, so that's kind of cool. Usually I'm in my living room. So tonight,
right.
Tonight I'm actually in the wonderful town of Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, you're up north.
Yeah.
And I'm down south.
And it's probably much warmer there. I'm actually by Lake Ontario. Like, I look out my door and there's Lake Ontario, which is kind of cool. And then there's like an old fort from like the War of 1812 against the United States that's like right beside me, which is kind of cool.
Very nice. Very cool.
Yeah. So anyways, it's been a couple years since you last appeared on the show. That was season one, and we're currently just embarked on the third season, and it's been really good. I've had a lot of guests on. I did your episode. It was you, and then I had Mark as well, Mark Ferrari, and I kind of amalgamated them together. I think it was like episode 3 of season 1, which was great. And at that time, you were ramping up for the reunion of Cold Sweat.
Yes.
Man, when I saw those YouTube videos of the band performing, all I could think was, man, I wish I was there.
I tell you, it you know, I hate to sound hokey and cliche and all those other overly romanticized things, but man, it really was a magic moment. You know, we hadn't been in the same room, let alone the same stage, in almost 30 years, and we got together the day before the pre-cruise party.
Yeah,
at a rehearsal facility in Miami, and you know, from the first note, it was just like we hadn't missed a beat. You know, the magic was still there, the camaraderie, the busting of each other's balls. And we rehearsed for about 5.5 hours.
Wow.
We had a lot of time to catch up, to get ready. So needless to say, the next night when we took the stage, it was just probably one of the most memorable moments taking the stage for me, besides maybe taking the stage in Mannheim, Germany in 1990 at the Super Rock Festival with Aerosmith, Whitesnake, Dio, and Poison, and about 65,000 Germans.
Wow.
It was an incredible moment to walk on stage with all the guys again, and it was a great moment, man. It was fantastic.
So when was the last time that lineup, I mean, because Mark had left the band and you guys became Sweating Bullets, had actually played together?
It was about 27 years.
That's crazy.
And, wow. I mean, it had literally been that long. And, it was a less than ceremonial parting of the ways when Mark left the band. And there was a lot of ill will because, quite frankly, we were just put through the ringer by the record label. I think management dropped the ball in a lot of ways. And by the time that it was all said and done, we were bitter and used up and tired, and we all kind of turned on each other, you know. But after a lot of years, it finally got, you know, resolved and put behind us, and everybody's glad that we did the 2020. It was a great time.
Now, did you guys do pretty well every song off the album, off the breakout album?
Yes, we did. We played it back to front.
That's amazing.
And we threw in a cover of AC/DC's Walk All Over You, which was pretty slamming.
That's awesome. Now, are there plans to possibly do any more shows in the future?
Well, you know, that was the kind of one of the many unfortunate catastrophes of COVID.
Yeah.
Because when we came off the boat, we already had reps from Frontiers Records on the boat. They saw our set. They wanted to sign us immediately. We already had agents that were chomping at the bit to book us, do, like, you know, we were talking about doing M3. It was going to happen. But unfortunately, Mark's father passed away. He was sick while we were on the boat. Mark's father passed away, and that, of course, put things back. And then COVID went full blast, and that just, you know, and it's really unfortunate. We do have some. We did record the show at the theater on the boat, and there is talks of releasing that in the future.
That'd be awesome.
I think that there is a strong chance that we'll get back together again. Cool. Hopefully for another big show like the cruise or something. But you know, we are still talking and we don't hate each other.
That's good. Now, was Frontiers interested in new material, or were they more interested in possibly putting out this live album?
I think a little of all of the above. You know, just you know, the fact that we were very much one of the buzz bands of the boat that year, and the people that saw our show were definitely like, "Holy shit!" You know, these guys hadn't missed a beat. You know. So, you know, I mean, I think that the negotiations would have been wide open for just about anything.
I mean, I remember seeing comments, and a lot of the people were just, I think a lot of them were amazed how great the band sounded, but the fact that your voice was still intact fully, like, you sounded phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, you know, Tyson, man, I've always approached, you know, I've had a different outlook on singing my whole career. I've always taken it very seriously, almost as a sport. I'm very competitive about it. I train. I try and say my prayers and eat my vitamins, brother. And, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say that I haven't dabbled in all the excesses that come with the rock and roll lifestyle. I just never let it control me and hurt what was most important, which was my voice.
Yeah.
And I'm still that guy. I'm the guy that starts warming up 30 to 45 minutes before the show. I'm the guy that has to have his tea and honey and lemon. I'm the guy that carries a portable dehumidifier for his room in the hotel. Wow. You know, I'm that guy. But yeah. I'm 54 and I still can fucking blow it out. So, you know.
Yes, you can. I agree.
Yeah. Now, so I'm holding on to it.
As you know, I posted a few weeks back on Facebook. I said, you know, Breakout's one of those, the desert island. If I was stranded on a desert island, that would be one of the albums I would want to have with me. And for those that don't know it, those that do really love it. And that's what people always say. I mean, you get comments on it and they're like, man, that's a killer album. And it's almost become kind of this cult classic thing, which is so cool, yes. Right? Which
it is cool. Really, really is, Tyson. And look, I'm not going to lie. I was somewhat skeptical about where Cold Sweat lied in the whole genre. Mm-hmm. And I know that we were just a blip. We were at the end of the era. We were right there before grunge took over. And we were one of those bands that got lost in that shuffle. But when I went on that cruise, I had people come up to me from Japan, Germany, Brazil, Portugal, just, you know, of course, all over the United States, you know, Scandinavia, you know what I mean? I mean, I had all these people coming up to me from all these different countries, and they're going, oh, Cold Sweat, these German guys, Cold Sweat.
That's awesome.
That great record. Oh, what a great record. You know, I mean, it's like, it is a cult favorite. It is one of those records that falls into the category of why didn't these guys become huge?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just timing. It was just one of those timing things. But, you know, for me, I got to be a part of something that captured lightning in the bottle. I got to experience, I mean, come on, man. We were managed by Wendy Dio. Exactly. I got to tour with Ronnie James Dio. I got to play a festival in Germany. I got to tour Canada, Mexico. I went over to Europe. I mean, you know what I mean? I did so much stuff that, do I wish that I would have been super rich and super famous? You know, yeah. But, man, I did shit that I lived my dreams. And when you can say that you lived your dreams when you're a kid, and you're idolizing these people and you're striving to do what they're doing, and you actually get a chance to do it and share the stage with some of them,
yeah,
you feel a certain amount of like, hey, I climbed that mountain. So, I'm only bitter, every once in a while.
Now, there is a reissue, right, of the CD. It was reissued a few years back.
Yes.
Did you actually get to re-listen to the masters of those reissues as the process was going on, or how did the whole process work?
Well, luckily it was in the good hands of my personal manager, Dave Tedder
Hi, Dave.
Dave has been a good shepherd and a good steward of the product. And I got to give Dave credit. Dave had to dig through the muck that was MCA Universal to go through the process of even getting that released.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Dave reaching out to Mark, and Mark, because he worked for Universal and MCA at one point, he knew how to get into the system. But dude, Tyson, they couldn't even find it.
No.
MCA Universal could not even find the masters. They had it cataloged wrong. Instead of it being under Cold Sweat as the name of the artist, they had it under Breakout.
No way. But it was found, obviously.
But it was found, after Dave and Mark just fought and dug and told these people, No, it is. Oh, this release doesn't exist. And we're like,
yes, it
no.
does.
Yeah. Yes, it does. So, I mean, it was, kudos to Mark. Kudos to Dave. They worked really hard to get the thing released. It probably never would have seen the light of day if it wasn't for those two.
That's amazing. What's funny is I have it on vinyl, but I have a CD copy of it. And when eBay, early 2000s, I hunted it down because it was so hard to find in Canada, and I think I might have told you that before. But I bought this copy off this guy on eBay for $5 on CD. And then years later, it would, it'll be more. But you guys all signed it, and you've actually signed it as Rory. And it says, but the funny part is, it's mine, but it says to Adam. And then you guys all signed it.
That's crazy, man. It is. It's like, every once in a while, I'll get a message from somebody. They'll be at a record store, and there it is in the cutout bin.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, you got something that people that know are like, holy shit,
Now, I've always wondered, were there ever tracks recorded that didn't make the album?
Unfortunately, no. Because of the situation, they had already halfway started the pre-production process and selected all the songs before I even came into the picture. Okay. I was the guy that came in when Oney bailed to join Lynch Mob. So I was the guy that came in, when the ball was rolling.
Yeah. Because Stay, which was one of the demos, ended up on the first Medicine Wheel album. But right. If you go on YouTube, there's the Ferrari demos. They don't sound the greatest, but it's kind of, there is, One Down, One to Go, The Night is Young, Cold Hands, Warm Heart, and Card Shark were all these. For people that have never heard these songs, look them up on YouTube, because the quality is not the greatest, but it's kind of cool to hear those songs.
Yeah, because they're beginning stages of what would later on be on something else. And, the whole Ferrari Lynch Mob was such
a crazy story.
It was such a crazy story, man, and the fact that they looked for a singer for like 6 months all over the country and all over the world, and I was literally the last guy to audition, and I had to pay for my own flight, and I'd never been on an airplane before, and I'll never forget, I begged him, I'm like, dude, I'm telling you, if you give me just one live audition, I said, I will get this gig. And he goes, you really are confident. And he goes, I tell you what. He goes, if you pay for your, he says, the label's already flown everybody out that they're going to fly out. He goes, if you'll pay for your own flight, I'll let you sleep on the floor of my apartment and we'll give you an audition. And I'm like, so.
I'm there. That's awesome.
I'm there.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history.
Now, of course, before we get to the main reason for this interview, which is the fifth, you also play with Steel City, which you released Mach 2 was, what was that, late 2020,
yes,
early 2020?
Yeah, we released it during a pandemic. We thought that was a great marketing move.
Well, fantastic release. And Mike was kind enough to send me over a copy of the album.
Right.
Now, are there plans to record another album?
Yes. Yes. I will be returning to do another album with Steel City. Mike is currently demoing material. You know, Mike's one of those guys that he'll write 700 songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
crazy.
He's going to start whittling those down and eventually get them to me. And I'm assuming that something will be happening in mid to late 2022.
Cool. That's awesome.
But there's no real timetable right now.
I look forward to that. Now, the fifth, which you've been doing since early 2000s.
2001.
There's been a few incarnations of the band, but I guess this album's kind of a different lineup. It's a new lineup.
Yes.
Yeah, kind of tell me about that, like who's who and who's doing what and all that good stuff.
Well, you know, one thing that I'd like to make perfectly clear, you know, I started the band when I moved back from Atlanta to North Carolina. The fifth has always been my musical vehicle for me to do my thing. Of course, here in southeastern North Carolina, you have a limited talent pool and resource of people that you can use. And I've always tried to have the best musicians, the best lineups, the best that I could. But not everybody is going to have the same passion and drive and the willingness to stick with it like I do. So through the years, it's only going to be natural for you to replace members. I don't want to replace members, especially guitarists, because that's who I vibe with and write songs with.
Yeah.
But, you know, David Coverdale has gone through a gazillion member changes. Yeah, for sure. He doesn't stop Whitesnake. You know what I mean? If he loses a drummer, he doesn't go, oh, well, you know what, mate? It's been a good run. Even though it's my band and I started it, I'm good. I'm done. I've lost my bass player.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it works, you know. I've kept this thing going because I love singing and performing. I never wanted to give it up in my life. So that's why I started the fifth when I moved back here. Fast forward through the members that we've had great members, but right now I could say without a shadow of a doubt this is the best lineup that I've had. Every member brings something just phenomenal to the table. There's no weak link. There's nobody in the band that I can't look over to and know that they're holding their shit down. I've got Gary Zeus Smith on drums and vocals. I got Jake Tripp on bass and vocals, and I've got a cat named Justin Womble on lead guitar and vocals, which is the guitar hero of the future. This guy is – I've played with some great guitar players. Justin is probably one of the best, if not the best, guitarist I've worked with.
Wow.
The guy can play any style. He can shred. He can play the blues. He could play country. He could play southern rock. That kid could fucking play a polka if you asked him to play a fucking polka. I mean, but he's a great songwriter. And just, Tyson, you know, with anything, you got to have that chemistry. You've got to have that camaraderie, that chemistry, that vibe. And when you have that and everybody's on the same page, it's a beautiful thing. And right now, I'm in a beautiful place with great musicians and great people, and we've got good things happening. So I just think it's been a matter of sticking with it and sticking to my beliefs and the quality level that I expect. And, you know, it's gotten me this far.
That's awesome. Now, getting to that, you've recently released the EP, simply entitled The Fifth, I believe.
Yes.
Now, in terms of the band's previous material, how would you say this? Does this? Do you think this material differs? Is it an extension of what you had done before? Just kind of give me a synopsis of how you feel about these five songs.
Well, you know, when I put the fifth together in 2001, it was much more on the modern rock kind of sound. It was a drop D.
Yeah.
It was more around the Godsmack Creed kind of sound.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. That was, you know, what
was
popular.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was the times.
Yeah.
So as the fifth continued on, you know, we got great response from our music and everything, but I started to get more and more offers because of my Cold Sweat past. To do these festivals that were with late 80s, early 90s bands. So I started to get booked as, you know, the fifth featuring Roy Cathy of Cold Sweat.
Right.
And, you know, the Rock and Skull Festival was something that kind of made me realize, holy shit, you know, there is this whole group of people that still love that era of music. And when we started writing this next record, Justin is in his early 30s, you know, but he's a young soul. He grew up listening to those six string slingers, and he's that's his thing, you know what I mean? So it's easy for him to write that way.
Yeah.
So the first batch of songs that he brought to me, we all decided to kind of lean in that direction. Let's lean in that late 80s, early 90s. Let's go back to the party rock, you know, hard rock with big vocals, great guitar solos, and just, you know, Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses kind of thing, you know?
Yep.
And that's what we set out to do.
And I mean, I listened to it and I'm like getting to your voice again. I was thinking, man, it might be stronger than ever. I have to admit that. Like, there is some killer vocals on this EP. Like, I was like, wow, man.
Thank you very much, man. I really do feel like I'm singing better than ever. About 2 years ago, I got involved with a Boston tribute band. And that really made me change up my technique a lot. I learned a lot of new technique because Brad Delp of Boston.
Amazing.
Was an amazing singer, and he had an incredible falsetto head voice that a lot of people didn't realize. I didn't realize it. So I really, it taught me a different technique, and that technique is kind of, you know, I kind of mesh everything that I learned together. So
that's awesome. Now, was there a reason only to release an EP? Did you have enough material for an LP, or you just kind of thought the EP was kind of the way to go right now?
Well, you know, for one, it had been so many years since the fifth had released any new music. There had been member changes after member changes after member changes. You know, we would get to a certain point, start writing, and then somebody would quit or get fired or something. So once we got together and we got these first five songs clicking, I felt that since everyone's, you know, the music fans' listening habits have changed. So for me, I viewed it as, look, let's release the EP. Let's get these five songs out. Let's let the people know that we're still out here. We're still writing new material. Let's use this as a appetizer. Let's because that's the only thing, the only complaint I've heard about this EP is it's an EP.
It's an EP.
It's too short. Everyone's like, oh, it's only five songs.
I know, and it's so, that's the thing. It's so, it's one of those things where you're like, when an EP comes out and you're like, it's so good, you want to hear more.
You know, right. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to put five really strong songs on it, and I wanted people to know that we're still out here. Here's where we're at right now. I wanted to capture the good chemistry and the positive vibes that the band is experiencing right now and put it in the studio, put it on a CD, let the people get a taste of it, and have that catapult us into 2022 and do a full length.
That's cool. Now let's discuss the first single and video, which was Shake Little Sister. Love the song, and of course the video looks the video is really good. Did I happen to notice your son is in the video?
Yes, my son is in the video, and his drummer in his band. Those are the two very young.
Because he's a singer now, right? He sings.
My son is singing and playing bass. His band is called Crooked Cult, and I'm very proud of him. But him and his drummer Ryder came and hung out all day and did audio and helped any way that they could. But yeah, my son makes a little cameo in the video.
And the video looks great. I mean. I'm listening, I'm watching it, and I'm going, wow, man, this is good. And there's not boobs out, but there's boobs, and there's a lot of stuff going on in a bar, which is cool.
Yes.
Looks
yes.
great. Reminds me of the 80s again, which I loved.
Well, you know, when I sat down with the director, and, you know, Jaden Frost is a super talented young director. I've been wanting to work with him for a while. But we finally got the chance to work with each other on this one. And I sent him the song, and man, I'm telling you, he calls me back, and he's followed the Fifth's career and me for many years. And he goes, you know what, Roy? He goes, after hearing that song, he goes, you know what? He goes, man, they just don't make rock stars anymore. He goes, we are going to make an old school 80s headbangers ball party rock video that's going to make you guys look like fucking rock stars. You guys are the band that walks in and all hell breaks loose. That's and I'm like, okay, because that's generally what the song is about. If you listen to it, it's basically about somebody going into town, raising hell, and one female who happens to financially benefit from the visit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it he nailed the video visually. So it was just a matter of finding the right location. We found a great bar in Benson, North Carolina called Pitcher's Bar. It's a biker bar in the middle of nowhere.
I love it.
And we took it over for 2 days, and that's Shake Little Sister.
It looks very good. And now, of course, that's the lead off track on the EP. When you turn it on, that's the first song. So up next is Calm Before the Storm. Geez, fumbling my words. I'm curious to hear your take on this one, and what I was listening to it, and I'm like, I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts of what your take on it was when you were writing it, because mine might be different than yours as I'm listening to it.
Well, you know, for me, just the moodiness of the song, you know, I try and write, I'll listen to a song, and when I'm writing the lyrics and melodies, I kind of try and envision a movie screen in front of me, and what would the soundtrack be? What visual is this music talking to me about? And just the moodiness and the anticipation of the song, it to me, the subject matter is dealing with the earth is telling us that shit is wrong. The world is telling us that these bad events are coming, and we are choosing to ignore them. So I didn't want to get too political. I didn't want to get into, you know, climate change or anything like that. But I would say that the song is basically something in that realm of the warning of what, you know, what's ahead of us if we don't, you know, take precautions.
And I mean, living where you live, I mean, you guys are, there's hurricanes, right? Right. Like I've never been amongst a hurricane. We don't get those in Canada very often, but I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's hurricanes here. There's tornadoes here. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things here.
Well,
you know.
Well, it's funny because we seem to get a lot more tornadoes up here now than we used to. So that falls in place to what you're talking about. The same thing,
right.
You know.
And that's I thought it was, you know, I mean, you know, those that kind of know me know that was a time that I used to be quite the fire starter on social media and stuff like that.
But, no.
But, you know, I really feel that we've come to a, here's my 10-cent word of the interview, the precipice of some very, very important times in our world and in our country. And I just, even though my platform may be small, I feel like I have to say something. And it's especially very hard for me being a Southern white male, because I'm automatically categorized as something that I'm not.
Good point.
And I want a lot of people to know that there's some really good Southern folks out here that are standing up for what's right, and we don't agree with what's going on, and we're not all racists, and we're not all rednecks, and some of us are really pissed off about what's going on. And there's a lot of people that have ostracized me because I decided to speak out. But you know what? I sleep good at night. If I'm the guy that goes, hey, that 12-year-old kid that didn't have a gun, he didn't need to be shot. If I'm going to be the bad guy for being the only person that have the balls to speak the truth to that, my balls are big.
Good for you, man. And those things need to be said sometimes. So that's awesome. And I mean, years back, going back, you were talking about what you used to say on social media. I would always read them because they were always good. I was like, and then your point always came across. It wasn't like someone spewing off at the mouth just for the sake of saying something. It actually made sense, which I think when you are being maybe controversial, it has to make sense. And I always respected that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, next up is home. This one's killer because it kind of reminds me of early 90s. And I don't say this very often. In some ways, I hear Skid Row, Slave to the Grind type of vibe in that vocal, man. And I was like, you don't hear that anymore. Like, you know, you hear Sebastian Bach sing it, but other than that, you don't get that vocal performance. That song, from a vocal perspective, is quite amazing.
Thank you very much. I've gotten a lot of Sebastian Bach comparisons through my career, so you know I'll take it. He's a hell of a singer. You know, man, Home was the minute that Justin played the demo for me. I was blown away. Number one, that guitar solo in that song, dude. He hits three notes that. It's three notes, but it's like, you know.
That makes a great solo.
When he played that song for me, I said, dude, I said, that's a fucking power ballad. And he goes, yeah, I know, right? And I said, I said, that is a fucking power ballad. And as soon as you recognize it for what it is and you wrap your arms around it and embrace that, it's okay. And we set out. I've set out to write a power ballad, and I don't care what anybody says. There is a huge demographic of people that got their first taste of some nookie to a fucking power ballad playing in the backseat of a car somewhere or in the basement, you know, while mom and dad are upstairs. So my point being is we weren't afraid to put that out there. Because people still like that shit.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, you mentioned about getting some to a power ballad. I mean, just pick which one, really. Like, I mean, there were so many of them, right?
Right, absolutely.
And it's so funny because, and you mentioned that, my daughter's 20 and her boyfriend's the same age. And he comes over to my place and he's like, he is in love with To Be With You by Mr. Big. Mm-hmm. And they put out a collection of the 45s from Lean Into It on it. So he always wants me to put that on. And then I was like, do you like some of the other ones? He's like, yeah. I was like, do you like More Than Words? It's just funny because this 20-year-old kid is like, I said, well, this isn't the actual introduction to this music that it actually was. These are like the ballads that made these bands famous. But I'm like, if you're 20 years old and listening to it, I still think that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. And look, there's some, my kids are living, breathing proof. You know, I mean, it's like my kids walk through a door and you think it's 1973. That's, I mean, awesome. They dress in, they shop at thrift stores. They listen to a broad, they don't like modern music. They don't like modern fashion. You know, so there's some kids out there that are starting to reject the status quo, and they're starting to embrace the retro and the vintage and all that stuff. I mean, my son, he looks like freaking Lemmy, except without the mole and all. You know, he's wearing the blue jean jacket with the bullet belt. You know what I mean? And I'm like, going, I see my son, and I'm like, fuck yeah!
Is he putting the microphone way up high like Lemmy and singing?
I'm gonna try and teach
him. That's so cool. Okay, now Coming to Get You, great groove, really heavy song, might be my favorite one. I like the groove of it. It's like, I'm like, this is good, this is cool. Lyrically, to me, this says what it is. Maybe I'm coming to get you, girl, but. Yeah. You might have a different interpretation on that on lyrically, because
no, this one was pretty much just a straightforward, you know, what it's talking about is what it's talking about, you know. But the main thing of it is for me about this one, for some reason, it has a real Audio Slave kind of, you know, stomp to it, you know. So that's one of my favorites about the song is just that groove, you know, that it has.
It's a cool tune. Yeah,
thank you.
Now the EP ends with Roll the Bones, which I thought of Rush when isn't there a Rush song called Roll the Bones?
I think, from years ago, right?
And I was like, they didn't do a cover of Rush. You never know, but this one's cool. I mean, hell, they're all great, but I love the gang vocals on that. What's your take on this track?
Well, this was actually the last one that I wrote lyrics to, because it was a bit of a challenge, because it's kind of a riffy riff. So, you know, there's stuff that, you know, as a singer, you're writing the lyrics and the melodies. You don't want to step on the guitar. You don't want to step on, you know, things. So this one I rewrote about 3 times.
Really?
And, yeah, I mean, I'm really bad for that, man. I'll write it. Oh man, this is great, man. I got it. I'll sing it to the guys. I'll listen to it. That's trash. That's just garbage. And I'll go back and start all over again.
Well, I get what you're saying about the if it's a riffy song, because sometimes, you know, you'll listen to a song and go, okay, the vocal melody is actually following that guitar riff, and then there's other songs where the vocal melody is totally different from the riff. So I really understand what you're saying.
Right. I mean, and I tried to kind of weave in and out of it and everything, because the riff is like, I mean, so it was kind of moving around a little bit. So I just kind of tried to dance over the top of it. But that one turned out a lot better than all the the guys were worried about that one.
They were. Okay.
How's this going to turn out? What's he going to sing? For God's sakes, he's sang 4 different versions of it.
That's all. They're probably getting frustrated. Like, when's this going to end? When's the song going to be done?
I'm telling you. And look, man, there's times that it is very frustrating for me, because I'm such a perfectionist. If I don't feel like I'm putting something out that is really going to speak to the audience and make it to where I can listen back to it and go, yeah. You know, it's a hard test for me. So sometimes there are babies that you just got to learn to just let them go.
That's right. So in terms of playing live, are you guys out doing shows now?
No, right now, you know, we're at the end of the year. Traditionally, you know, we kind of slow down our shows for the holidays, let everybody enjoy things. My guitarist is moving into a new home, so he's busy doing that. Right now, we're gearing up towards 2022 to being the year that we really start going out and starting to play some more shows. We're starting to work with a couple of different booking agencies that are starting to try and, put us into some different markets. Probably in February, we're going to be doing a southern tour. And hopefully in spring, we'll be doing something up north. Maybe not as far up north as where you are, but.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think back to that Rock and Skull show that that you guys were slated for that Saturday, and then I had to leave, and you guys got pushed to the Sunday, and I was so bummed out. Do you remember that?
You missed the infamous Ted Poley bump.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. And I know Ted was... And you know what? I was in their dressing room. I was in that dressing room that night, and I didn't hear anything about that. I was just like, "What happened? Like, where? Why aren't they playing?"
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, that was
that sucked because I was like, "Oh man, I get to you know." That was what year was that? I mean, that was probably I'm 47. That was my 40th, so that was 7 years ago already. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. Boy, that really pissed me off. But I do want to, you know, take a moment to give condolences to Justin Murr's family.
Yeah.
You know, I really hate that Justin is not with us. He was a really sweet guy.
Yes, he was.
He did a lot to help me and the Fifth. And not to get into too much, I think... Sometimes, Tyson, there's people that dream just a little too big.
Yeah.
And sometimes they overextend themselves trying to please everyone.
Yeah.
And as you know, you're not always going to please everybody.
Exactly.
And I think that Justin tried his best, and I think some people felt shorted and slighted. And I don't agree at all with the conduct of an unnamed singer that said some things.
I know who that is, but we will leave that unnamed. And you know what? Actually, I do have a Justin story. It was at that event, and it was the Friday night, and I was standing with Bruno Ravel from Danger Danger, and we were at the bar, and Justin came along. And I had never met him. I had tried to send him an email because... coming from Canada, I was looking to find a hotel to stay at, like if he would give me some info. So anyways, I mentioned that. I said, you never got back to me. And so anyways, long story short, Justin says to me, and I didn't remember until I woke up the next day because I got into some tequila. And I take my pants and I pull this thing out of my pocket, and it was like a pass for the whole weekend. And I'm like... what is this? Where did this come from? I couldn't remember at all because I drank a lot of beer and a lot of tequila. So anyways, I go the next night, which was a Saturday night that you guys were supposed to play. And I go to check in, and I go, I've got this. And the girl goes, you're VIP. You've got all your drinks are paid for, all your food. You can go wherever you want. And I was like, and then I thought about it. I was like, he gave that to me last night. And that was the kind of guy he was. Like, and I wanted to tell that story because I will never forget that. And when I heard that he had passed, I was, you know, I thought about that and thought about that weekend and how he would bring all these great bands together for the music, you know, that I loved. And it's just unfortunate, like you said, sometimes dreaming too big, you know, might get you in trouble. But, you know, I had a lot of respect for him.
A lot of respect, and he brought a lot of people together that made a lot of friends that are still friends to this day.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can bring people together in a positive way in this world, that is a blessing. So no matter what he may or may not have done, I think that he's sitting in a pretty good place right now.
I agree. So, Roy, before I say goodbye, possibly we can let the listeners know where they can find the EP. And where they can also find the Fifth on the World Wide Web, as we call it.
Well, we're in the process right now of actually finally getting our own website put together. So that'll be up first of next year. You can always find us on Facebook. It's under The Fifth Music. We also have an Instagram page. You can find the EP. It's at all the downloadable sites. You can also find it at Vanity Music, which is our label. If you do a Google search of Vanity Music / Big Cartel, and the Fifth, it'll pop up. But right now, man, you know, holidays are amongst us, and you know, music makes a great gift. So cool. Go out and support some local music.
So I can get this on CD though. It's available on CD. Okay. So that's at Vanity Music?
That's at Vanity Music, Big Cartel, correct.
Perfect. And it's only no vinyl, though, just CD?
No vinyl, but we are in discussions. But, you know, it's, you know, vinyl for an EP, we're balancing.
Is it cost-worthy? I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, man. Well, thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck. Hopefully, I'm still not coming across the border because of this. We still have issues at the border. So
I know. We still got issues here in the States, man. It's, you know, I mean, on a side note, you know, just 2 weeks ago, we had a COVID scare at my office. Everybody had to go get tested. I'm vaccinated. I take care of myself and all that stuff. But, you know, you got the unvaccinated knuckleheads that are going to come into work. And then they get sick, and then everybody freaks out, you know, so.
We have some of those at my work as well, so.
Yeah, you know, it's
frustrating.
It is so frustrating, man. I'm like, dude, I went to high school with you. You slept through fucking science class. Shut the fuck up.
I know. I agree. I agree. It's like, you see people, they'll do other things to their body, and they don't care. You know, and that, but they won't get a needle and put the. I've got this one,
and I'll say it. He's a fucking redneck. I guess one fucking redneck that I work with. He comes into work with a lip full of skull and a Mountain Dew bottle, and he comes in the morning with a Monster and a lip full of skull. And he's, I ain't getting no goddamn shot. And I'm like, dude, look at you. You're putting fucking Mountain Dew in your body. You got skull in your lip. What the fuck are you talking about, you fucking idiot? I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, but that's not going to kill me.
Yeah, none of that's going to kill me.
That's not going to kill me, man. I'll be fine. I've been doing this for years.
Oh,
I know. I hear you. All right, man. Well, thanks so much. Thanks again.
Appreciate it, man.
And like I said, hopefully I'll get down there to see you, see the band at some point. And if Cold Sweat ever does happen to play the M3 or something like that, I will be there as long as I can get across the border.
Never, we will never say never.
Okay, man. All right, well, have a good night. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, you do the same, man. Take care. Good to talk to you, man.
You too.
Bye, bye. See you, bud.